The miserable childhood doesn't simply happen, it is brought about. There are dark forces. If I am to lay blame, it is in a spirit of forgiveness. Therefore, I forgive the following. Pope Pius XII, the English in general, and King George VI in particular. Cardinal McRory, who ruled Ireland when I was a child. The Bishop of Limerick, who seemed to think everything was simple. Eamon de Valera, former Prime Minister, Taoiseach, and President of Ireland. Mr. de Valera was a half-Spanish Gaelic fanatic, Spanish onion in an Irish stew, who directed teachers all over Ireland to beat the native tongue into us and natural curiosity out of us. He caused us hours of misery. He was aloof and indifferent to the black and blue welts raised by schoolmaster sticks on various parts of our young bodies. I forgive also the priest who drove me from the confessional when I admitted to sins of self-abuse and self-pollution and penny thieveries from my mother's purse. He said I did not show a proper spirit of repentance, especially in the matters of the flesh. And even though he hit that nail right on the head, his refusal to grant me absolution put my soul in such peril that if I'd been flattened by a truck outside the church, he would have been responsible for my eternal damnation. I forgive various bullying schoolmasters for pulling me out of my seat by the sideburns, for walloping me regularly with stick, strap, and cane when I stumbled over answers in the catechism or when, in my head, I couldn't divide 937 by 739. I was told by my parents and other adults it was all for my own good. I forgive them for those whopping hypocrisies and wonder where they are at this moment. Heaven? Hell? Purgatory, if it still exists. I can even forgive myself, though when I look back at various stages of my life, I groan. What an ass. What timidities, what stupidities, what indecisions and flounderings. But then I take another look. I had spent childhood and adolescence examining my conscience and finding myself in a perpetual state of sin. That was the training, the brainwashing, the conditioning, and it discouraged smugness, especially among the sinning class. Now I think it's time to give myself credit for at least one virtue. Doggedness. Not as glamorous as ambition or talent or intellect or charm, but still the one thing that got me through the days and nights. F. Scott Fitzgerald said that in American lives there are no second acts. He simply did not live long enough. And in my case, he was wrong. When I taught in New York City high schools for 30 years, no one but my students paid me a scrap of attention. In the world outside the school, I was invisible. Then I wrote a book about my childhood and became Mick of the moment. I hoped the book would explain family history to McCourt children and grandchildren. I hoped it might sell a few hundred copies and I might be invited to have discussions with book clubs. Instead, it jumped on the bestseller list and was translated into 30 languages, and I was dazzled. The book was my second act. In the world of books, I'm a late bloomer, a Johnny-come-lately, new kid on the block. My first book, Angela's Ashes, was published in 1996 when I was 66. The second, Tis, in 1999 when I was 69. At that age, it's a wonder I was able to lift the pen at all. New friends of mine, recently acquired because of my ascension to the bestseller list, had published books in their 20s. Striplings. So, what took you so long? I was teaching, that's what took me so long. Not in college or university where you have all the time in the world for writing and other diversions, but in four different New York City public high schools. I've read novels about the lives of university professors where they seem to be so busy with adultery and academic infighting, you wonder where they found time to squeeze in a little teaching. When you teach five high school classes a day, 5 days a week, you're not inclined to go home to clear your head and fashion deathless prose. After a day of five classes, your head